Some of you are going off to school. Got to get your classes. Got to get your dorm room reserved. You got all kinds of things. Got to be ready. You know what? We here in Alaska, we know something about getting ready for the new season, especially summer, right? If there's anything Alaskans love more than ice cream, it might be summer. We love our summer times. Right now, I'm sure you guys have seen it just like I have. The snow machines are being put away. The gas tanks are being emptied. The boats are coming out. The fishing gear is coming out. Everything's getting cleaned because summer's coming. You know, one of my favorite things to do during the summertime is to go down to Homer. It's just a nice place down there. One of my favorite spots is to go down to the end of the Spit because there's so much happening down there. You know, during the summertime when the store's open, you know, my wife can go shopping, I can go fishing, the kids can run on the beach, there's people surfing, the harbor's there, and there's all the, you know, the activity. But you know, every time I drive down the Spit, something catches my eye. I'm sure it has for you as well. As you drive down the Spit on the left side, the east side of the Spit, there are some boats sitting there on the beach. I know what your opinion is of them, but mine's not that much of a positive opinion. As you go down to the end of the Spit, there's stuff happening, and life's getting ready, and those boats are clean, and they're dressed, and the rods are out, and people are ready to go fishing. But then, further up the road, it's a drastically different story. They're not in the water. They're up on the beach. The windows are broken out. The paint's faded. The rust is running down the beach, turning it orange. You know, we all recognize something where once there was activity, where once there was life, where once there was productivity, it's not there anymore. It's rusted away. It's faded away into the sun. And where once something was profitable, it's now a liability. It takes a lot of work to get something like that far gone back in the water. So this morning we want to consider what our condition is as we follow Christ, as you graduates are going off to a new stage of life. There are some warnings for us in Scripture. And this morning we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 5. If you're there already, we're going to begin at verse 11. And see one of the saddest statements in Scripture about Christians. The author here has gone on for five chapters explaining amazing things about Jesus. Some of the most unique teaching in the New Testament is here in Hebrews. Some of the most important quotations of the Old Testament are here in Hebrews. Some of the most important statements about what Jesus accomplished in his sacrifice is here in Hebrews. But look at verse 11. At this time, we have much more to say about this, but it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought yourselves to be teachers, you need someone else to again teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. It's a sad situation for these Christians. These Christians who came to church, who sat in the pew, who kept score, who heard their pastor week after week, who were served by their deacons, by their elders, who listened to the songs but didn't engage, never grew. And so this morning we want to see a couple of things. First off, the consequence of atrophy. So when things stand still, they deteriorate. We know that here in Alaska. You leave the boat out, it rusts. We know that in the Midwest. You leave your car unwashed, salt eats it away. We know that in California. You leave your car out in the sun, it fades. What are the consequences for a Christian who never grows, who just sits in the pew and waits, who allows others to change their diapers for them? What happens to Christians like that? Well, same thing happens to almost anything else in life. What we see here, first off, is that there is a missed opportunity. Students, if you go off to school and you don't go to class, guess what? You're going to miss class, and you're going to miss that grade. You're going to miss that test. Parents, if we don't engage with our children, what happens? They grow up. And those moments are gone. Or we're sitting there on our iPhones, what are we missing? Those opportunities are gone forever. And here, look at the opportunity that was missed here. Again, Hebrews is an amazing book in the New Testament. If you're not familiar with it, you need to be as a Christian because it is so unique. It is so powerful. It is so in-depth. Yet it was cut short. The author here wanted to say more about Jesus and about his role as our priest, as the one who intercedes before God for you and for me. He had to stop because the audience couldn't handle it. Their diapers were full. There were consequences. They missed that opportunity. But you know what? Just as with all of sin, sin does not just affect me. My sin affects others around me. Your sin does not just affect you. It affects others around you. And look at the consequence of their sin of sitting on the pew. You and I today miss out on what more could have been said about our Savior. What more could have been said about what Jesus does for us each and every day before the throne of God. We miss out on that because Christians fell asleep. Because Christians didn't care enough to grow. Because these students of the Word of God didn't study. Because they slept in that morning. They slept in every morning. There's missed opportunities that are a result of this kind of atrophy, of laziness, of idleness. There is also shame. Can you imagine, think through this with me this morning, if this was written to you and to me. Sitting here in church in a situation similar to this today, and someone that we know, someone that we respect, someone that is very familiar with you and with your discipleship and with what you should have been as a Christian, gets up and says, "You're pathetic. You should have been teaching others by now. You should be a reproducing Christian, but instead, you're waiting on me to change your diapers." That's embarrassing. You know, I've gone to the dentist many times and felt like a child. I've never had a dentist call me a child. This guy called these Christians babies. You are children. You can't handle what I would like to tell you about Jesus. We've got to go back to the nursery. We've got to go back to stacking the Legos. We've got to go back to the diapers. We've got to go back there. Because you were idle. And you know what? I'll bet they were embarrassed. I'll bet they were ashamed. You know what? Sin is shameful. We can all think of situations in our own life and the lives of others where sin was embarrassing. Students, being an adult does not keep you from becoming embarrassed. In fact, the consequences tend to get bigger. I remember the school I went to, freshmen. You're freshmen, right? You're going to be freshmen. Freshmen were required to serve in the dining hall twice a week. You had to do dishes, you had to set up for a meal, you had to take down after a meal, clean up, you know, mop the floors, that kind of stuff. And the duty that no one wanted was, of course, breakfast. Does that mean you had to get up at 6 o'clock? I don't remember if you guys remember college, but college students don't become cognitive before noon. Their brain just melts after about 3 a.m. You know, they stay up all night watching movies, playing video games. They play, you know, World of Warcraft, and they're just done. You try and ask them to get up at 6 o'clock and actually function and wash dishes, it doesn't happen. There's supposed to be three or four people on a shift, and you just knew. No, it's not going to happen. One, maybe two people show up. Well, at my school, there was a $5 fine if you didn't show up for your chore duty. Well, I had a friend, Patrick, and he didn't care. He was the last one to show up for registration day, so, of course, he drew breakfast. Twice a week, and he didn't care. He was not going to show up. He made sure he didn't have a first hour class so he could sleep in, and he was not going to show up for breakfast. Didn't care about the other students who had to do more work, didn't care about his responsibility, didn't care about his reputation, didn't care. Well, one morning, someone did care. Her name was Mrs. Meisenberg. Mrs. Meisenberg, despite the name, was actually a wonderful woman. She was a small lady. She was the nicest lady in town. She was a caring, compassionate, soft-spoken. I mean, she's always smiling. You know, the perfect person to be around in the morning when you're going like this. A perfect person to be around. However, Mrs. Meisenberg had enough with Patrick. And one morning, I was not there in the dorm. I was coming in the story a little bit later. Mrs. Meisenberg said, "Where is Patrick?" And everyone said, "In bed. Where else would he be?" Mrs. Meisenberg left the dining hall, walked across campus, went into the boys' dorm. We're in a little tiny town, 200 people in Wyoming, in a little tiny school, about 200 people. We doubled the size of the town when school started. It is a weird thing. And you know what? Girls don't come in the guys' dorms. There's a special way for ladies to come in the guys' dorm. You got to knock on the door. Everyone's got to announce, "Women on the floor, women on the floor." Mrs. Meisenberg didn't wait. She came in the dorm at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. And you know what? We were not ready. No one was ready for Mrs. Meisenberg. She came in and was shouting, "Where is Patrick?" Now, I'm at the other end of the dorm. I'm on the floor above where she is. And I can hear her saying, "Where is Patrick?" And I can hear something else. Guys running in every direction. Why? Because we are not ready for Mrs. Meisenberg. Ladies, when you stick a bunch of guys in a dorm all by themselves, certain norms of life go out the window, and we were not ready. I'll just say that. We were in every stage of getting dressed except for being ready for this event. Mrs. Meisenberg comes in. You know what? She'd raised a number of boys. She didn't care. All she wanted to know was, where is Patrick? Well, to cut the story short, she found Patrick. And Patrick went to breakfast that morning. And Patrick did his chores, and he went every other day that Mrs. Meisenberg was on duty. He also suffered some consequences. About 7 months of consequences, as we laughed at him every time he showed up for breakfast. "We know why you're here, Patrick." "Yeah, we know." He was the brunt of many, many jokes for months to come. And he was embarrassed. Patrick was a big dude. He could have taken Mrs. Meisenberg out, but that woman, that woman had him under her foot. It was amazing. There are consequences to idleness, and Patrick found one of those consequences. It was embarrassing. There's also another consequence that we see here in the life of these people here. Corrosion. You notice there, as we read, verse 12, "For by this time you ought to be teachers yourselves, but instead you need someone else to," key word, "again, teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God." These Christians had been taught. They had received instruction. They had been in church for a long time. They had been part of the life group. They had been part of the music team. But they were not useful for the gospel. They were not useful to Jesus. And so, again, someone had to come along and change the diapers. Someone, again, had to come along and paint the hull because it was rusting away. Someone had to come again and replace the windows because they were broken out. Someone again had to come and wake Patrick up because he fell asleep again. And there was embarrassment as those opportunities passed them by. There's also another result which naturally follows. It's failure. There's a progression of consequence with idleness, with atrophy. And students, you will get this in college. You don't show up for class, you miss the class, missed opportunity. Next time you go to class, the professor says, "Where were you?" "Shame. I was asleep." It never goes well. Professors don't like that for some reason. Then there's corrosion. You didn't learn that day, so you got to catch up. You got to make up for the homework. I remember when my dad was a professor at a Bible college, students would come to him the last 2 weeks of school having not done their homework and say, "What extra work can I do to pass this class?" And he would say, "About 5 times what you would have done if you just done it over the rest of the season, rest of the semester." Few students ever were late with their homework after the first semester with my father. It wasn't worth it. It was much easier to just do the work when you should have, to not corrode away and have to work so much more, to not let the hull rust, not let the windows break, and then have to replace all that stuff. Just keep the boat working. Keep it in the water. Fix it up. Scrape all the junk off. These Christians here didn't do that, and there was a failure in their faith. There is a failure in their life, as there is a failure with anything that sits there long enough. Skills fade away. Musicians know this. Students know this. Parents know this. And Christians ought to know this. When you are content with where you are in Jesus and you're never willing to grow any further, there will be consequences. And these Christians here were planted in the pew, but they never grew. And so they faded away. Now then, let's see the other side to this. As there is a progression of consequences that are involved with atrophy, as you sit there long enough, you fade away. Missed opportunities, shame, corrosion, ultimate failure, immaturity, irresponsibility, untrustworthiness. So there's a progression on the other side of growing up. Those of us raised kids have seen this. My son Zach cannot go out and eat prime rib at Louie's with me this afternoon. No, oh man, that'd be awesome if we did that. He can't do it. He can't handle it. Unfortunately, Ben is starting to get there, and I'm gonna have to start buying him steak and sharing mine, maybe. But you grow up. So where does it start on this side? Well, let's look here at verse 13. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. There's a progression of growing up. There's a progression in becoming a musician. There's a progression in becoming a parent. And it starts with freshmen. Ignorant. You guys know what freshman means, right? Fresh meat. Where's the grinder? Freshmen are coming. It starts with ignorance. That's where we start. But as you apply yourself, as you get up and go to class, as you get off the bench, start dribbling the basketball, as you stop getting the water for the football players and start running the drills yourselves, you become what? You become proficient. And as that progresses, you graduate and you become a sophomore. You know what sophomore means, right? I won't say it. You become not only proficient, but you gain an ability, and then you become a junior. I love juniors. Because they're not, you know, they're not what the other guys are. They're not like the jerks that the seniors are. They're just cool. Juniors are just cool. So, Donna, right? Yeah. You know what I mean. There's maturity. And then you become a senior. And then the wheels don't come off, they explode. Because now you're expected to do something with your life. You know, those that are graduating, people are asking you, what are you going to do in life? Where are you going to go to school? Are you going to get a job? What's going to happen? And most of us are going, I don't know. I remember that. I graduated 3 times. It was great. But I had to answer those questions 3 times. I don't know was often the answer. But as you grow, as you apply yourself in school, as you apply yourself in your faith, as we apply ourselves in following Jesus, there's a progression. Ignorance, proficiency, ability, maturity, and then what? As a senior, responsibility. Now is where we get to verse 12. You should have been teaching by now. Students, a couple of you have been in this church a long time. And you know what? You've been teaching. In Awana, in Sunday school, you've been serving, you've been growing. That is a great thing. Why? Because if you didn't, you'd be this group right here. Graduating, but still having your diapers on. Graduating, that smear up your back. We had one of those yesterday. I won't mention the bathtub. Those of you that know that story. Stuff happens around kids. But they grow up. It's great. They stop doing certain things. After responsibility, then there is victory. So often we want the victory. We want to become the next NFL star. We want to catch that halibut. We don't want to clean the boat. We don't want to get the gear right. I mean, we don't want to clean all the gear and change out the line and go buy new hooks. I just want the fish. I just want to be out there on the water. Well, it takes some effort to get there. It takes an effort to graduate from college. It takes an effort to graduate from high school. It takes some effort to be a good parent. It takes some effort to accomplish things that are worth doing. Again, college memories are just always helpful at this time of year. I had a buddy who was well known, had a certain reputation at the school that I went to. This guy was a super, 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 super senior. Now, we all know what super seniors are, right? Guys who should have graduated last year, but they're still around. This guy was a super, 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 super senior. And everyone knew this guy. Unfortunately, because he spent 8 years and all the thousands of dollars and all of the time and all that portion of his life before the school finally said, you need to graduate. And the school very candidly graduated him after 8 years with a 2-year, almost meaningless degree. It's unfortunate. He's still paying college loans today. There was a consequence to his atrophy. He liked playing golf. But he failed golf class. He didn't ever show up. So he failed golf. Another student I know went to school at 17 as a freshman, became an RA at 18, and graduated at 19. industry versus atrophy. There are consequences to both, and one meets with success and one doesn't. I remember the school I went to in Wyoming, the main auditorium where we had chapel was also one of our classrooms, and it was a weird old building. It had these ribs that went up the side of the walls and met at the top of the roof, but they stuck out from the wall about a foot and a half. It was just enough for a student to slide behind and go to sleep without the professor up front seeing them. And let me tell you, those two seats were prime real estate every morning. Students that would never come to class on time were there for those two seats. In fact, I remember students walking in, looking, seeing that they were taken, and walking out. They went back to bed. I saw students come in, make the effort to get up, get dressed, kind of, get to class, get to that spot, fall asleep before roll call was taken. They were still absent. I was like, why? How did you stay in bed? I don't get it. But you know what? Success in life comes with maturity. It comes with work. It comes with responsibility, students. You want that grade? You're going to have to earn it. At work, you want that promotion? You're going to have to earn it. You want to be mature in your faith with Jesus? You're going to have to work at it. You know what? We don't let children drive. Why would God let a child drive his church? And we all know that. Some of our students here are just getting their driver's licenses. A year ago, they weren't driving. Why? Because they were children, and children are foolish. We want to live. We love our children. We love our town. We don't want children destroying it. So we don't let you drive until a certain age where you've kind of grown up and, you know, your legs are long enough and hopefully you're mature enough. But you know what? No one hands a 15-year-old a permit and says, ha-ha, the world is yours. Go for it. Unless you're Mr. Ecclestone, right? You just don't do that. Why? Because children are foolish. And when you add in three or four more children, foolish becomes stupid. And then when you add a Red Bull in, it becomes deadly. We don't want that. So what do? We give a 15-year-old a permit and say, okay, you can only drive during the daytime with your parents. Oh, that's not fair. Deal with it. You gotta earn this. Right, kids? I had to do it too. And then after 6 months, hopefully you've earned it. Now you can drive with other adults. You can drive at nighttime, you know, until midnight or whatever. Then after 6 months, you get your license. Ha ha! Now I'm free. No, you're not. 6 more months, you cannot drive your friends. Why? Because friends are stupid. We don't need you driving down the road 80 miles an hour with 5 Red Bulls and your friends screaming, go, go, go! We don't want that. You need to earn that. That freedom, that responsibility, that success in life, reaching that milestone takes some work. It takes some growth. These Christians did not do that. And so for 2,000 years, other people have had to learn from their mistake and have had to live with their mistake. So what's the thought for us today? Well, let's let the author of Hebrews say it here. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity. Let's not lay again a foundation of repentance and instruction about washing, laying on of hands. Can we get out of the nursery? Can we get out of children's church? My sons are there because they are children. My wife is not there because she's not a child. She might teach the class. Why? Because she's grown up. How about you? What is your condition today? Where are you? Are you on the beach rusting away, or are you in the water going out fishing? Are you sleeping in, or are you in class? Are you learning? Are you growing? Are you getting that A? Are you getting that degree? Are you ready to go get the job? Are you ready to start your business? Or is comfort king? My friends, for Christians, Jesus is king. So where are you willing to march? Jesus is Lord. So are you going to grow? If Jesus is out fishing, are you going with him? If Jesus saves, go fishing. Don't come back. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you as always for the opportunity that we have to be together. Father, thank you for the blessing that church is, the opportunity for us as followers of Jesus to get together, to encourage one another, to be challenged by one another, to worship together. Father, thank you for these young people that have graduated this month. Father, I pray for your blessing on them as they go out, that they would not make the mistake that so many students do, to waste that time in college, to ruin their lives in that time. Father, protect these young people as they go. Give them a desire to do well, to be a testimony for Jesus in their work ethic, in their classes, in their grades, in their reputation, in their conduct, in their attitudes. But I pray that for all of us here, whether we're parents or grandparents, whether we're going out for the summer, whether we'll be fishing, whether we're going on vacation, whether we're staying home, or whatever moment of life each one of us are in, I pray that you would work in each one of us. Convict us of sin. Move our hearts toward Jesus. Give us a desire to grow, to be found faithful. Don't allow us to be those servants that take what you've given us and bury it in the dirt so you come and ask for it back. Make us those servants that use what you give us and grow it and are found faithful with it. Father, we pray for your blessing on everyone here as we strive to pursue Jesus. We thank you for these things. Pray for these things as always. In Jesus' name, amen.